The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this second day of June.
Yes.
Second day of June.
2022?
Yes.
Salute.
See, there you go. I'm right there. Now, back there behind that glass is none other than the courageous Craig, our producer.
Good evening, everybody.
And what you heard, that echo that you heard in the room here, was Radical Randy.
Be blessed. No stress, everybody.
And Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay. Now, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We really got a lot. Are we going to get to it? Let's start, Radical Randy, with Revelation 21:21.
Okay. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth shall do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night therein. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it.
Well, you got to keep on reading because you read all the way through.
We're going to finish it. Okay. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, and they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Okay, so what do you think the significance is that here the 12 gates were pearls? So you had, you know, these gates are very large.
Well, I'm thinking how big is the oyster?
Yeah. All right, looks like we got Dr. Glidden calling here.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All righty, we have, hello, Peter, are you there?
Sir, yes, sir, thank you so much, always a pleasure.
All righty, we're into our scripture tonight, and we're in Revelation chapter 22 now, and we're going to go back, So here, when he's talking about these, the gates are made of one pearl, okay? What does that tell you about, you know, he's not talking about you have a very huge oyster. He's talking about the fact that does he have any limitations at all?
Oh, no.
No.
No. Genuine everything. And if you go back a couple verses, I mean, there's every precious stone you can imagine.
Yeah. And so here now, so he's telling you New Jerusalem is going to be a place of what? Purity? And how long will New Jerusalem last?
Forever.
Forever.
All right. So now yes. Here, the temple center of God's presence is among his people. So there's no temple because who is the temple?
Oh, God himself.
God himself would be the temple himself. There, right?
Yes.
And so here now, And he said, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory of honor of the nations into it. Now, so he's talking about, this is what, this is during the millennial kingdom?
Yes.
Okay. And so this is, the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven,
out
right?
Out of heaven, that's right.
Rests above the earth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so who's gonna live there?
The redeemed and Jesus Christ will live in the presence of God there.
And who's not going to be allowed in?
Well, the people that won't be in heaven won't be there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, here, you know, I saw Spectrum News channel, they're promoting Sodomite Month, what they call Gay Pride Month, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What does God call LGBTQ? What does God
abomination.
Call abomination. Peter, you just jump in when you have a question or comment. And so he calls it an abomination. And does that defile?
Yes.
It's defiled, ED, yeah. Already. Yes.
So now, just recently, Taco Bell stated they're celebrating Sodomite by giving out little rainbow things, Sodomite Month. Okay. Are these people stupid or what?
I think they know exactly what they're doing.
Yes, they do.
And not as far as stupid, and they're foolish in the eyes of God, but they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so here now he goes and he says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. That water of life, what the Jesus told the woman at the well, where did he say that came from?
The living water.
Living,
yes.
Water, okay. Yep. And he said, but where did it come from? Jesus said, the water that I will give you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that means, well, he's talking about eternal life.
Eternal mm-hmm. life, that's right.
Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. Now, this throne of God also, too, there's on earth where Jesus sets up his kingdom, the temple, out from under his throne comes a river, and it goes into three different directions. And that river waters the entire earth, doesn't it?
Yes.
But isn't that kind of similar to the Garden of Eden? I mean, there were mm-hmm. three rivers there.
Yeah, I think people are ringing in already. Mm. You better check. Okay, I'm sometimes I'm wondering if we have things are happening so fast. You've got people that got prayer requests and things like that. So we have to be careful and watch in case an emergency prayer request or something comes up. So here now, he said, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Peter, I'll bet you can tell me about a whole lot of different leaves of plants out there that are good for the healings of the nations. Could you not?
In my sleep, I could do that, Pastor.
And so, when we go back to the apothecary, that takes us back to the apothecary, which is natural medicines for the things that God has given us. So actually, that apothecary means perfumer, but he tells you in Ecclesiastes 10:2 that, or 10:1, that one fly in the ointment. You know, so here today, what they're trying to do, you know, with our food and trying to change the genetic code in our food, trying to change everything up on us, and that's exactly, they're trying to control the food supply, because if you control the food supply, what do you control?
Oh, everything. Everybody, you don't have to ride in a car, but you do have to eat.
Yes.
Yep. By the way,
it's all based on atheism. It's 100% based on atheism because these people do not believe in natural law. They think that they, in fact, are God and that they can manipulate nature, they can manipulate food however they think is best from the scientific method, and the scientific method is less than half of reality, and yet this is the model that they've been brought up with, and this is what informs everything that they do. It's patently atheistic, and it needs to be called out as such.
Well, when you see what he's talking about here, so when we see the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Eden was made after the Garden of Heaven, okay?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the New Jerusalem here. And so here, when he says this, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Now, what do you think that curse is? No more curse.
Well, come on, I think if nothing else, death, the things that lead to death.
Yeah.
That's it, death. Death is a curse. And so he says here that, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night, there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God himself giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Ever and ever is a long time. So does God have the ability to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Glidden, I got a question for you. He's talking about the fruits and the leaves that healed in heaven. The GMO stuff, is it lacking in terms of like healing, you know, and that sort of thing? Or has anybody even looked at that?
Well, it's like the fella said. God made herbs and man-made pharmaceuticals, and in this case, man-made genetically modified.
Okay.
So it's modified.
Okay.
And we don't really know what effects it's going to have, but if I had to put my money on the scientist at Monsanto, God, I'm going to go with God.
I agree with you 100%. I just wondered if there was, any kind of whatever, because what I think about is all that seedless stuff. That I would think that it would be inferior because everything God had seeds in it.
Well, not just.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah.
And they don't want you to produce. They want to control. It's about control.
Right.
It's always about completely controlling. He goes in and it says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto us the servants of things which must shortly be done. And so here now he goes on, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keep the sayings of the prophets of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the book of worship God. Now, how could he be a man like us and still be an angel?
Oh, no.
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 Well, you see, actually, what he's telling them there, that word angelus there.
Is messenger.
Messenger. And so often you have men are like, what is he tells you in the seven churches, the angel of the church of Laodicea, those are men, those are pastors.
Yes. Right.
So he's referring to them as simply messengers. So here, when he's referring to this, it's not a mistake. He's telling them that he's a messenger. I'm simply a servant and a messenger like you. Mm-hmm. And he said unto me, well, then he says this, worship God. Worship God. What would be the criteria for worship? What would you have to do if
praying to?
Yeah, bow down to them.
You bow and worship to pray to.
Okay, so I had talked about a fellow that had got very upset with us supporting Donald Trump. And he got upset and he texted me this telling that, we're worshiping Donald Trump. No, we're not worshiping. We were supporting Donald Trump, right? There are people out there that tell you that it's a sin if you have a Christmas tree in your house because it's an idol. So what does it take to make that Christmas tree an idol?
Well, you got to pray to it.
Yeah,
you got to
bow down, worship it.
You know, and I mean, to me, it's just a piece of whatever, you know.
Well, you see, I don't myself. I put up nativity scenes is what I like to put up, but I don't have a problem with a Christmas tree, unless I catch somebody praying to it.
Right.
Now,
yes. Right.
If there's one in my living room, I come in there and I find my family praying to that tree. There's going to be some excitement that's going to take place very quickly. But you see, that's what now. So praying to is worship. Now, what about this? If does that include praying to dead people?
Yes.
Oh, that's worshiping dead people. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a sin.
So is Mary worship a sin?
Yes. Mary worship is a sin.
Okay, and you're absolutely right. But to worship anyone other than God is a sin, right?
Yes.
All right, so he goes on to say, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that have the right to the tree of life, and enter through the gates into the city. For without are dogs. Is he talking about canines? He's talking about German Shepherds?
No, vile people.
Sodomites.
Well, yeah. You have five times in the Bible, LGBTQ of today would be referred to as dogs.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have, and sorcerers. Dr. Glidden, do you think that these people that are working with pharmakia, does the Bible not call that sorcery?
100%.
So when we take a look at Pfizer and all of these things, we're looking at sorcery.
And yeah, so we're looking at the works of the evil one. We're looking at the works of Satan 100%. And that's the only reason, by the way, that this whole industry can exist. I mean, you think about it, it's medical mediocrity because, I mean, this type of medicine is great if you have a bullet in your leg or, you know, you break your leg and you really do need surgery. But for everything else, it's horrible. And heart disease rates are increasing. Alzheimer's is increasing. Obesity is increasing. Life expectancy is getting shorter. Leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States is medical bills. Leading cause of death is conventional medical treatment. And how can such an industry exist that fails consistently and bankrupts people? And how can that be number one all of the time? There has to be a demonic influence. There has to be a satanic influence to keep it going. There has to be.
So what does that tell you about these people? Because Scripture says, those that hate God love death. Now, When we take a look at Fauci and Bill Gates and George Soros, do these people love death?
Yes.
Now think about it.
Apparently they do, because under their tutelage and care, we're dying radically.
Well, I'm really referring to the kill shots. They're pushing, and now they're pushing them on little kids. They want them to die. They want to die. They want to depopulate the planet. There's people out there that they cannot register this. They can't, because they really don't even want to believe that there are people that want death, even though they've watched America kill about 150 million babies. Okay, but and here, for example, you have an article there about
The New York one or the Ohio one?
The one about the, well, both of them.
Oh, okay. Well, starting out here in Ohio, it says here, abortion pill put 5 Ohio women in the hospital, caused 125 serious complications in 16 months. The report of RU486 event form submitted to the State Medical Board of Ohio by abortion facility statewide.
Okay, that's good.
Well, anyway, we'll go on to the New York one.
Yeah, all you have. No. Sit. Just okay. Sit. What you have here, RU486.
Mm-hmm.
Now, RU486, that 86 is a military term. So he's saying RU486ing. Mm-hmm. 86 means killing.
Killing. Yes. That's right.
This is what this what that means, okay? And so this the entire death culture. But the vast majority of people out there can't really wrap their brains about the fact that, yeah, we're at a time in this country where we're up against the enemy, and the enemy wants to depopulate the program. The Bible says all of those that hate God love
death.
They love death, okay? One of the problems you have is a lot of the, in my profession, the vast majority of the pastors really aren't saved. But even those that are, most of them don't, they're afraid, they don't want to speak out against, even though they know what's happening, they see this, the vast majority of them don't have the courage to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you there's no sense in panicking the people or worrying the people. What is the very first duty of a man of God? To tell the truth.
Tell the truth,
right.
Okay. And so he sent us out there to do just that. Now, do you know what? Very quickly, I think we're going to play a little clip, Brother Peter. And this is Ronald Reagan. I think we need to take a little back in history. Because now this goes back a ways, but he was a man of great wisdom, and he also was the one that warned us about freedoms. If we don't, and we're seeing what's happening, okay, we're up against an enemy, the Antichrist, Democratic Communist Party. They want to take away not only our freedoms, but they want to take away our life. Now, the vast majority of people out there, Republicans, know that. And the Democrats, too, but the vast majority of them don't have the courage to say it. Go ahead and play that clip there.
My name is Ronald Reagan. I have been asked to talk on several subjects that have to do with the problems of the day. It must seem presumptuous to some of you that a member of my profession would stand here and attempt to talk to anyone on serious problems that face the nation and the world. It'd be strange if it were otherwise. Most of us in Hollywood are very well aware of the concept or the misconception that many people, our fellow citizens, have about people in show business. It was only a generation ago that people of my profession couldn't be buried in the churchyard. Of course, the world has improved since then. We can be buried now. As a matter of fact, the eagerness of some of you to perform that service gets a little frightening at times. Now, back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, 6 times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said, under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and, of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Ferrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Ferrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that. Walter Reuther said, it's no secret that the United Automobile Workers is officially on record as backing a program of national health insurance. And by national health insurance, he meant socialized medicine for every American. Well, let's see what the socialists themselves had to say about it. They say, once the Ferrand bill is passed, this nation will be provided with a mechanism for socialized medicine capable of indefinite expansion in every direction until it includes the entire population. Well, we can't say we haven't been warned. Now, Congressman Ferrand is no longer a congressman of the United States government. He has been replaced, not in his particular assignment, but in his backing of such a bill, by Congressman King of California. It is presented in the idea of a great emergency that millions of our senior citizens are unable to provide needed medical care. But this ignores the fact that in the last decade, 127 million of our citizens, in just 10 years, have come under the protection of some form of privately owned medical or hospital insurance. Now, the advocates of this bill, when you try to oppose it, challenge you on an emotional basis. They say, what would you do? Throw these poor old people out to die with no medical attention? That's ridiculous, and of course, no one has advocated it. As a matter of fact, in the last session of Congress, a bill was adopted known as the Kerr-Mills Bill. Now, without even allowing this bill to be tried to see if it works, they have introduced this King Bill, which is really the Ferrand Bill. What is the Kerr-Mills Bill? It is a frank recognition of the medical need or problem of our senior citizens that I've mentioned. And it is provided from the federal government money to the states and the local communities that can be used at the discretion of the state to help those people who need it. Now, what reason could the other people have for backing a bill which says we insist on compulsory health insurance for senior citizens on a basis of age alone, regardless of whether they are worth millions of dollars, whether they have an income, whether they're protected by their own insurance, whether they have savings? I think we could be excused for believing that, as ex-Congressman Ferrand said, this was simply an excuse to bring about what they wanted all the time, socialized medicine. James Madison, in 1788, speaking to the Virginia Convention, said, since the general civilization of mankind, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachment of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. They want to attach this bill to Social Security, and they say here is a great insurance program now instituted, now working. Let's take a look at Social Security itself. Again, very few of us disagree with the original premise that there should be some form of saving that would keep destitution from following unemployment by reason of death, disability, or old age. And to this end, Social Security was adopted. But it was never intended to supplant private savings, private insurance, pension programs of unions and industries. Now, in our country, under our free enterprise system, we have seen medicine reach the greatest heights that it has in any country in the world. Today, the relationship between patient and doctor in this country is something to be envied anyplace. The privacy, the care that is given to a person, the right to choose a doctor, the right to go from one doctor to the other. But let's also look from the other side at the freedom the doctor loses. A doctor would be reluctant to say this. Well, like you, I'm only a patient, so I can say it in his behalf. The doctor begins to lose freedoms. It's like telling a lie, and one leads to another. First, you decide that the doctor can have so many patients. They're equally divided among the various doctors by the government. But then the doctors aren't equally divided geographically. So a doctor decides he wants to practice in one town, and the government has to say to him, you can't live in that town. They already have enough doctors. You have to go someplace else. And from here, it's only a short step to dictating where he will go. This is a freedom that I wonder whether any of us have the right to take from any human being. I know how I'd feel if you, my fellow citizens, decided that to be an actor, I had to become a government employee and work in a national theater. Take it into your own occupation or that of your husband. All of us can see what happens once you establish the precedent that the government can determine a man's working place and his working methods, determine his employment. From here, it's a short step to all the rest of socialism, to determining his pay. And pretty soon, your son won't decide when he's in school where he will go or what he will do for a living. He will wait for the government to tell him where he will go to work and what he will do. In this country of ours took place the greatest revolution that has ever taken place in world's history, the only true revolution. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rulers for another. But here, for the first time in all the thousands of years of man's relation to man, a little group of men, the founding fathers, for the first time, established the idea that you and I had within ourselves the God-given right and ability to determine our own destiny. This freedom was built into our government with safeguards. We talk democracy today, and strangely, we let democracy begin to assume the aspect of majority rule is all that is needed. Well, majority rule is a fine aspect of democracy, provided there are guarantees written in to our government concerning the rights of the individual and of the minorities. What can we do about this? Well, you and I can do a great deal. We can write to our congressmen, to our senators. We can say right now that we want no further encroachment on these individual liberties and freedoms. And at the moment, the key issue is we do not want socialized medicine. Now, you may think when I say write to the congressman or the senator that this is like writing fan mail to a television program. It isn't. In Washington today, 40,000 letters, less than 100 per congressman, are evidence of a trend in public thinking. Representative Halleck of Indiana has said, when the American people want something from Congress, regardless of its political complexion, if they make their wants known, Congress does what the people want. So write. It's as simple as finding just the name of your congressman or your senator, and then you address your letter to that individual's name. If he's a congressman, to the House Office Building, Washington, D.C. If he's a senator, to the Senate Office Building, Washington, D.C. And if this man writes back to you and tells you that he, too, is for free enterprise, but we have these great services and so forth that must be performed by government, don't let him get away with it. Show that you have not been convinced. Write a letter right back and tell him that you believe in government economy and fiscal responsibility, that you know that governments don't tax to get the money they need, governments will always find a need for the money they get, and that you demand the continuation of our traditional free enterprise system. You and I can do this. The only way we can do it is by writing to our congressman, even if we believe that he's on our side to begin with, write to strengthen his hand, give him the ability to stand before his colleagues in Congress and say, I have heard from my constituents and this is what they want. Write those letters now, call your friends and tell them to write them. If you don't, this program, I promise you, will pass just as surely as the sun will come up tomorrow. And behind it will come other federal programs that will invade every area of freedom as we have known it in this country. Until one day, as Norman Thomas said, we will awake to find that we have socialism. And if you don't do this, and if I don't do it, one of these days, you and I are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
I think it's been about 35, 40 years since I played that for the first time, that clip. I wanted to say this. I want to apologize to our listeners out there in Detroit at 1500 and also on 92.7 FM. I realize you've been having some problems out there, and I praise the good Lord it's over with. But I'm going to send Mighty Andrew out there tomorrow to beat up that station manager. I hope they're listening. All righty, with that. So, Dr. Glidden, do we have socialized medicine?
Well, I tell you what, if Ronald Reagan were alive today, he'd be categorized as a terrorist, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, I am. And all of us are, really. Today, and so here now, when we're talking about,
you can't tell that truth anymore, not in the public forum.
No, truth is God's word, And today, again, truth is, you know, it's not truth. They call it a narrative, and it's whatever lie they're told to tell, they would do it, and they do it quickly. They embrace. I sit there and I watch people that should know better, professing Christians embracing abortion, embracing lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers. Are these people, you know, well, I guess, you know, Proverbs chapter 1, it talks about the simple-minded. Are they simple-minded?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Okay, we're going to go back. I don't have any of your books, Brother Peter, because they're all gone.
They've been ordered.
Have they?
They are on the way.
And listen to this. My own copy that I had on my desk is gone. Somebody, I think, borrowed that. So when I say I don't have any. Okay. Well, thank you very much for all those books that you've sent us. And they are, again, you know, I like the way you have it categorized. And I've been using that, looking at different things in there. I was having some problems breathing, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to look up this, what it says, an asthma. And I went right to the asthma, and you were talking about that little bottle of that, like a fish oil that you send out. And
Rehoboam Omega.
Yeah. And some other things would be the cure. Well, it turned out it wasn't asthma. I've got allergies, and boy, do I have allergies. I mean, And tomorrow's supposed to be really bad here tomorrow, so we got to keep our door, windows closed tomorrow.
Well, I can give you some help with that. I can give you some help with that when the time's right.
Well, tomorrow is the time. But anyhow, so now let me ask you this: what we're talking about when Ronald Reagan said about these doctors, I know some doctors. In fact, I have one that really helped me just recently. I had a major problem when my knee. It swelled up so big I couldn't even get my pants off. It was a real problem, a pain. Oh, it was like 72 hours of pain. And when I finally got to the doctor, she helped me right away. And I want to praise the good Lord. But I get the opinion from talking to some of these doctors now, that they're afraid. They're more and more afraid now of bucking the system, and do you see that? I mean, not all MDs are bad, are they?
No. And you know, my message gets confounded sometimes because in order for me to make it clear to what's happening, we have to draw distinctions. And you know, I've always said every time I talk about this that it's not the medicine in and of itself that's bad. It's the monopoly that's bad, and what we need is a free medical market. There's a time and a place for MD-directed allopathic medicine, and there's a time and a place for every other type of medicine, but every other type of medicine is not let onto the stage, and this is the problem. I have a number of friends, good friends, who are medical doctors, and they're not bad or evil people, and conventional medicine, allopathic medicine, pharmaceutical centrist medicine is really good for certain things. But for most things that most people go to the doctor for, it's a horrible method because medical doctors don't practice health care. They practice disease management. And under their tutelage and care, if you have a chronic illness, you get weaker over time and more addicted to the pharmaceuticals, and then you go bankrupt, and then you die. And this is not Dr. Glidden's opinion. These are the facts, ma'am, just the facts. So the situation here is that we desperately need a free medical market. And because we don't have a free medical market, everybody is going to hell in a handbasket. And conventional medical doctors were co-opted years ago by the medical profession's adoption of sacrosanct evidence-based medicine. Evidence-based medicine sounds scientific, objective, and noble, but it was hijacked by the industry to create clinical practice guidelines that came to dominate the medical education and practice. And that's the thing that's the problem, because medical doctors can't speak out. Medical doctors can't do what in their hearts they're told to do because they have all these practice guidelines, and if they step outside of those lines, they're going to get hammered. So they are controlled by this evidence-based medicine culture, and guess what? Guess who did exactly the same thing? You know what Hitler did before he started to invade Europe? He controlled the medical profession. And in Nazi Germany, a tremendous amount, a very high percentage of medical doctors became Nazis. In the period leading up to and including World War II, German physicians joined the Nazi party at a much higher rate than all other professions. And, you know, this is what happens when the state takes over the practice of medicine. And that's what's going on here, and it's going on in spades now for the last 2.5 years. You know, they're rejecting alternative treatments, even though they work better than conventional treatments. Medical doctors, you know, in the early stages of COVID, you weren't allowed to see your dying mother in the hospital, for goodness sake. This is tyranny, is what it boils down to, and it needs to end. We need to rise up together as a community. And honest to God, the best way to do this, in my opinion, is to vote with your pocketbook. Because I don't think this is going to change politically, because they have so much power. The pharmaceutical industry has so much political power. I think people should start voting with their pocketbooks and just not going to conventional medical doctors as much as they used to in the past, aggressively seeking out alternatives.
Now, you know, it's an interesting thing, because I see what you're talking about. It's like today you've got two major political parties, and then the largest political party are independents. Independents they're the largest. You've got about 20% Republicans, about 20% Democrats, but the largest party is independents. But it's independent to get to run. It's almost impossible to get on the ballot. They make an independent have 10 times as many signatures, so they're controlling this. And it's obvious what they're afraid of. They're afraid of that an independent, someone who is not, and you know, tied to the party and corrupted, are going to have a much better chance of winning in a lot of cases. And
well,
so
look what happened to Trump when Trump got in. I mean, it was from the day before he was elected, they tried to take him out. And this is what happens when you go against the grain in Washington, D.C. And, you know, I wish that I had a more enlightened view of our politicians, but I don't. And I don't think this medical situation is ever going to change politically. It's either going to take an asteroid to hit the Earth and reset everything, or it's going to take a big uprising from the populace. I don't really see that coming. You know, maybe Jesus Christ will return. Maybe something dramatic like that will happen. But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, my advice is educate yourself today about science-based, clinically verified alternatives to conventional pharmaceutical medicine, because these are science-based and they're clinically verified and they work, and they're not 100% effective 100% of the time. Nothing is. But it's a very effective methodology, and you should educate yourself about it now before you get sick. You should attempt to build your health starting today, because you can do that. And, you know, it's much better to move through life with a healthy body than to move through life with a body that's addicted to pharmaceuticals, for goodness sakes. You cannot drug your way to health. There is room in the world for both of these medical professions. You know, if you're in an automobile accident and you break your leg in three places and you have a bleeding artery, then the conventional medical doctors will save your life. You get your leg blown off in Iraq, conventional medical doctors will save your life. You have a really bad pregnancy and delivery, and medical doctors will save your life. But for chronic illness, for the things like asthma and heart disease and depression and arthritis and the things that everybody goes to the doctor for most of the time, they've got nothing for you except medications that intend to manage your symptoms. Now, that's better from dying from a heart attack. It is. But what's better yet is attempting to make your heart healthy, attempting to make your joints healthy, attempting to make your skin healthy, attempting to make your mind healthy. You can do these things. not outside of the ken of this medicine to produce these results. But you don't even, most people don't even know how to pronounce naturopathy, let alone know what it is. And if you go to Wikipedia, it'll tell you that I'm a quack, that I practice unscientific, substandard medicine. That's a lie. It's not even close to the truth. It's a bald-faced lie, but that's what happens.
Well, let me ask you this, because I've noticed that more and more naturopaths are popping up all over the place.
Well, there are, but, I mean, if you look at the numbers, man, we're at the bottom of the totem pole. I mean, we're at the part of the totem pole that's under the ground, Pastor. I mean, we're not even above ground yet. But there are more and more every year. But, you know, numbers-wise, it's not even a...
Well, let me ask you this, because you're seeing here, when you're talking about... you've got the frontline doctors who are MDs, but they're more... And I know a lot of them, and just about every one of them that I know will tell you you're better off to, again, go with natural medicine, to avoid the drugs, to avoid the drugs that go with natural... These are MDs, I'm telling you, I'm talking about. We've had many of them on the radio program here. And I noticed a couple of things, too. One of them who was in the beginning was pushing the kill shots recently said, when I asked about pushing the kill shots, I said, no, I would never take one. And now he said, I don't blame you. They're changing that now, and I'm noticing that. Now, that Brits... That woman, Dr. Britz, the one who is Fauci's partner in crime.
Yeah.
She's been on the news saying, well, you know what we found out? We found out that that when you've gotten the vax, they call it a vaccine, the kill shot, it wears off. And once it wears out quickly, then it's also causing your natural immune system now to deteriorate faster. In other words...
And we've been saying that for 2.5 years. I mean, we knew that when this stuff was being rolled out. This is not a brand new discovery. But now they have to cover their tracks, and they have to say things like this in order to make themselves save face. And people like myself and lots of my colleagues have been saying this from... And you as well have been saying this from day one. So this is not new news. This is how they're spinning it in order to make themselves look good and to save face. And they're going straight to hell. I want a front row seat to watch them burn, brother. I really do.
Yeah. Now here, CDC just issued level 2 travel alert on monkeypox. Level 3 is coming in this month. Level 3 is coming and will restrict.
Monkeypox.
Pardon?
Yeah. Monkeypox. Be very afraid of the monkeypox.
From what I understand, about 98.9% of monkeypox is spread among homosexuals, sodomites. And so...
I wouldn't be surprised, but this is, you know, this is just the dodge. It's another fear factor. I just came from a very interesting naturopathic conference. It was the first time myself and my colleagues were able to get together since coronavirus, 2.5 years. There was a really interesting presentation by a colleague of mine named Greg Nye. His presentation was that fear produces the same physiological change that exposure to a toxin does. And if you didn't know what the exciting cause was, whether it was a toxin or fear, you wouldn't be able to tell just from looking at what happens to the body, because the response is exactly the same. So the message here was that all of the fear that has been generated in human beings for the last 2.5 years because of the coronavirus misdirection and lies and deceit, all of that fear has in fact had a negative physiological impact. It's not made up. It's an actual thing that happens physiologically when you subject people to fear. And that's one of the reasons that people got as sick as they did, as fast as they did. It wasn't because of the virus. It was because everybody was so flipping, unbelievably afraid. And that train's not going to come off the tracks anytime soon. So now it's going to be monkeypox, and then who knows what it's going to be a year from now. And then, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Big Pharma, what did Pfizer make? $93 billion so far of our money. from the poisonous poke, the distribution of the poisonous poke. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but direct-to-consumer ads on TV for pharmaceuticals, they've tripled in the last 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
They're on the TV now, it's every other ad is a pharmaceutical ad.
Yep.
They're using this money to drive home the false notion that their way is the only way and that everybody else is a back-of-the-bus quack. And I hope they burn for a long, long time.
I just got a text, a phone call from Brent Johnson. And Brent, you know, he's been out there for many years out there promoting what the Constitution actually says, teaching you. And his secretary are being virtually held captive in Tonga. And what is happening is they're getting, I guess, somewhere around $11,000 or $12,000 per everyone who gets the kill shot. And
Right. They
will not let him leave the country until he gets the kill shot. And he's going to come on here tomorrow and talk about what's happening here. But you're right. It's all about money, but it's about control. Remember Karl Marx said, you've got to keep the people afraid. Keep them off balance. Keep them confused. They're much easier to control. Now, when you talk about here, all of these, there's a traumatic increase in the amount of children that are committing suicide. Yeah, the amount of children that need psychological treatment because, you know, they're mixing this, you cover your face, you wear a mask. This is, you know, really coming down. And now they're mixing that with the insanity of today. I have here the left sexualization of children, the pedos. USDA and General Mills flee gender cool associations as public learns about the horrors of corporation-backed grooming and genital mutilation of children. This, we're seeing these woke corporations like General Mills. We're seeing here a CDC director issues alert on Pfizer's COVID-19 pill. You might get COVID again. Well, yeah. You see, they're telling you go ahead and take a pill. And by the way, those that have gotten the kill shots are much more likely to get COVID again than those that are
more likely to get COVID again and also to get sick again regularly, consistently from everything else.
Yeah.
So those people are getting sicker more frequently than anybody else. And oh, by the way, got all my COVID shots. I got all my boosters and then I got COVID. And people don't put two and two together and think to themselves, well, why did I get the shots if I got the COVID? It's nuts. People just don't think for themselves. Honest to God, most people aren't smarter than a fifth grader. And that's another reason why stuff like this can persist, because they've dumbed down the education for the last 50 years as well.
You know, you wouldn't believe how many calls I've gotten from people and letters that have thanked us for warning people about the kill shots, because they have their families and those that got them died. I mean, a lot of people are dying out there, a lot. And just all you have to do is call the funeral homes and they'll tell you. But they're working hand-in-hand with the fake news media. They want to keep this out of the news. People are not supposed to know. And so
insurance companies know.
Yeah.
That's the best way to gauge this metric is to see how many claims have been made from, you know, people dying.
Hang tight. We're up against a hard break. We're going to be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. Be back with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.